Ezekiel chapter 45, verses 7 through 17. This is the word of the Lord. And to the prince shall belong the land on both sides of the holy district, and the property of the city, alongside the holy district, and the property of the city, on the west and on the east, corresponding in length to one of the tribal portions, and extending from the western to the eastern boundary of the land. It is to be his property in Israel. And my princes shall no more oppress my people, but they shall let the house of Israel have the land according to their tribes. Thus says the Lord God, enough, O princes of Israel, put away violence and oppression, and execute justice and righteousness. Cease your evictions of my people, declares the Lord God. You shall have just balances, a just ephah, and a just bath. The ephah and the bath shall be of the same measure, the bath containing one-tenth of a homer, and the ephah one-tenth of a homer. The homer shall be the standard measure. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels plus 25 shekels plus 15 shekels shall be your minor. This is the offering that you shall make. 1/6 of an ephah from each homer of wheat, and 1/6 of an ephah from each homer of barley, and as the fixed portion of oil measured in baths, 1/10 of a bath from each core. The core, like the homer, contains 10 baths. And 1 sheep from every flock of 200, from the watering places of Israel for grain offering, burnt offering, and peace offerings, to make atonement for them, declares the Lord God. All the people of the land shall be obliged to give this offering to the prince in Israel. It shall be the prince's duty to furnish the burnt offerings, grain offerings, and drink offerings at the feasts, the new moons, and the Sabbaths, all the appointed feasts of the house of Israel. He shall provide the sin offerings, grain offerings, burnt offerings, and peace offerings, to make atonement on behalf of the house of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord and our God, we ask that you would open our hearts now to your word. That we may embrace your Son, as he is offered to us in it. We ask these things in his name. Amen. This life is full of tears for this world is full of sorrow. But there is a life full of joy, a world filled with praise. It is that life and world which Ezekiel saw as he was carried in the spirit to a very high mountain. At its highest point stood the temple of glory. And the highest part of that temple was the most holy place. to ascend the full height of that mountain to enter the dwelling place of God, the place of His presence, the place of His rest. This tells us something about the purpose of that place and the purpose of that mountain. We find it in the purpose of every mountain. Why do mountains exist? That we may climb them. This is why man climbs Mount Everest, the highest mountain on earth. Why? What is there? How much more than the heavenly mountain? Why should we climb it? Because it is there. And what awaits us there? The fullness of rest. The fullness of peace. The fullness of joy. The fullness of the Lord. It is our chief end to climb that highest of all mountains and to delight ourselves in the one who dwells there, the one whose glory covers that mountain and crowns it. If we know that we are unworthy to approach it, much less to climb it, and even less to dwell on it, and still even less to dwell in Him. It is not a right that we can earn. It is a gift we can only be given. One given in grace and received by grace. It is this grace that we find in Ezekiel chapter 45. Here we learn about the life of that place and also of how it comes to be ours. How one comes to that place and is kept in it. In this last of Ezekiel's visions, he sees the temple of the Lord sitting on the height of the heavenly mountain. But he also finds that temple standing in the midst of the holy district. And that holy district is at the center of that land. The temple of the Lord, it is not only the highest point of that place, it is also the center of that place. The life of that place, its height and its center, is the presence of the Lord. And as we come to verse 7, we learn more about the land that lies beyond the holy district. We learn that the land on either side of the holy district belongs to the prince. It is his portion among the people of God. If one would enter the holy district, he must pass through the borders of the prince. In that place, one cannot reach the holy district without passing through the prince's land. And so to enjoy the life of that place, to reach its greatest pleasures, one must obtain the blessing not only of the Lord, but also of his prince, that one whom the Lord has anointed to rule over his people. To the prince is given great power and authority. That power and authority is not absolute. But the prince himself is subject to a higher power and authority. Do not forget that this land, it is not flat. It is laid atop a mountain. And so, as one goes further in, he must also climb higher up. And so this district of the prince, it is not only on either side of the holy district. It is also beneath the holy district. So this prince, the closest to the Lord, he is still beneath the Lord. And he has been given power and authority by the Lord for this purpose. What is that purpose? To serve God's people. In verse 8, we are told of that place that the one who rules over the people of that place, he will not oppress them. Instead, we are assured he will protect them. The prince of that land, he will not weary us, but give us rest. He will not breathe threats against us, speak to us peace. He will not raise his hands in violence, but to bless us. He will execute justice and righteousness, for he will be just and righteous. We will not live in fear of him. We will know safety because of him. He will not take from us anything that we are not willing to give. And because of who he is, it will be our joy to give him all that we are and all that we have. For this is what he gives to us, all that he is and all that he has. What is his way? What is his likeness? He is not harsh, but gentle. He is not proud, but lowly. And though he has all authority over us, it is his delight to serve us. The fragrance of his delight remains with us and rests upon us. And in his presence, we learn at last what it means to be thankful. But did we not know him, we would never believe that a man could be so good and pure and faithful and true. And for this reason, It is all the more painful and grievous when men in the church do not conduct themselves in this way. When they are cruel, not gentle. Proud, not humble. Dismissive, not gracious. Insistent, not patient. And in so doing, they rob God's people of their inheritance. But they make themselves comfortable in God's house while leaving everyone around them anxious. And what was given as an inheritance of peace becomes an inheritance of terror. And the Lord says, enough. Enough, O princes of Israel. Put away violence and oppression. Execute justice and righteousness. Cease your evictions of my people, declares the Lord God. And this we are assured, that the Lord is not pleased with the conduct of such men. And if we should have any doubt, consider the one he gave us in the fullness of time to sit on the throne of his kingdom. He did not send a tyrant. He gave his beloved son. He did not send a man of violence. Sent the Prince of Peace. It did not come in power, but in weakness. It did not come with riches, but made himself poor. He did not come to be served, but to serve. Not to take, but to give. Not to burden, but to bear every burden. He said to the weary, come to me, and I will give you rest. Said to the heavy laden, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. For he despises his gentleness. For we despise his lowliness. What will we learn from him and become like him? That our houses, this house, would reflect the life of his. First Kings chapter 10. The throne of Solomon is described for us. We are told that there were 6 steps leading up to it. And on either side of each step was a lion. These 12 lions, they signified his rule over the 12 tribes of Israel, his rule over all of God's people. This image of a lion was fitting. But long before, it had been told that all peoples would bow before the Lion of Judah. Solomon was the son of David. His house was the house of Judah. Here we see the Lion of Judah sitting upon the throne of God's kingdom. And the descendants of Solomon who sat on that throne, they certainly resembled a lion, but in the worst way. By preying on the helpless and devouring the weak. By feeding themselves upon the flock of God. These lions of Judah, they learned to delight in their authority and not and their Lord. And so they used their power to make themselves strong and others weak. And how many were sacrificed on the altar of their pride? But now consider the true Lion of Judah. What is he like? In Revelation chapter 5, the Apostle John, like Ezekiel before him, was carried by the Spirit to the heavenly mountain. And there an elder meets him and says to him, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered." As John looks up to behold this lion of power, what does he find? He saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. The true Lion of Judah. He makes himself to be a lamb. In Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 17, we are told of the prince that it is his duty to provide the sin offerings, grain offerings, burnt offerings, and peace offerings to make atonement on behalf of the house of Israel. That is why the Lion of Judah became a lamb. If he might provide the offering required. That he might give himself as a sacrifice to make atonement for God's people. By his blood, we are forgiven. By his blood, we peace. This Lion of Judah is the Lamb of God. When we come to this Lion with hearts humble and contrite, we do not fear to be devoured by him. For though his teeth and claws are real and strike terror in the heart of his enemies, he bids his own to touch him and see that he is for us and to us the Lamb that was slain. So we bury our hands and our faces in that great and glorious mane that crowns his head in grace. And as we weep into it, he dries our tears and brings us to joy. Even his growl comforts us, and his roar strengthens us. He is the prince of that place which Ezekiel was made to see. And as we come to his land, he meets us there and greets us in grace. And by the merit of his obedience and blood, he makes for us a place and leads us higher up that mountain to bring us to God. As it is there, why do we worship? Because he is there. That we may dwell with him. That we may dwell in him. He is the life of that place. He is its love. He is its joy. He is its rest. He is its peace. May we know in this place the life of that place, its love, its rest, its peace. He has carried our sorrows, he has borne our griefs. Let us learn his joy
and fill this world with his praise.
Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has come.